Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So just reading this article that pointed out that the National Center for Higher Education Management Systems, yes, that's a mouthful, I know, or NCHEMS, evidently they are saying that the state system of higher education, where I live in Pennsylvania, what I say is the jewel of higher education of the nation, they are claiming that it's just a matter of time before all of the universities become financially unsustainable. And, you know, you look at the fact that as a state, we've walked away from education as a whole. I mean, honestly, you look at K through 12, back in the 80s, we were funding about half of public education. It's down to about a third now, and that's fallen onto the backs of the local tax base. Higher education, even worse. We used to fund, as a state, about three-quarters of the cost of tuition, and the student picked up the other quarter. Now it's completely the opposite. And now we're saying, no, take on higher loans, take on higher debt. It's insane, but it's what's going on. And to me, all of this defunding of education is about privatizing and destroying, which is why we've asked Ken Mash to come talk with us. He's the president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties, APSCUF. Ken, thanks for taking time for us.
Good morning, Rick.
So, you know, I'm looking at this and, you know, am I reading this report right? Basically, they're saying, you know, it's not sustainable. You're going to be broke.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, that report tells us what we already knew. This is not a sustainable path for our universities. And, you know, the bizarre thing is that we get told by the legislature that our universities are failing and that our system is failing, which is kind of odd given that they've been starved. And, of course, they're not going to be doing well if they're going to be starved of cash. And the answer can't always be to push the cost onto the student because it's self-defeating in the end. Students can't afford to go, and that just exacerbates the problem.
You know, I look at this, and again, you know, the fact that the state, through its budgeting process, through the choices that our legislators have made, have really created this crisis, in my view.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the numbers that are there. If you look at the 2% increase, which is actually in the budget for the state system, even with that 2% funding, it'll still leave funding 25% below what it was in 2007, 2008. So, you know, you can't keep on cutting or not keeping up with inflation for costs and expect that there's going to be a different result. And, you know, it gets exhausting, too, to hear our universities referred to like their business is meant to just operate and make money on their own. That's not what they are. They're supposed to be the means by which people achieve the American dream. And our universities are the ones that have consistently catered to first-generation college students, meaning that the students that come to our universities are the first in their families to go to the university. And as several reports have recently indicated, we are the universities that serve the working class in Pennsylvania. That is, that when we look at the bottom 40%, we bring in an inordinate share of those students to our universities. Now, having said that, over the last few years with the increased cost, we have seen a decline in the number of people from the bottom 40% who are coming to our universities. And I don't think it's because, you know, they don't need a college education. I think it just has become way too expensive.
Now, there are some who are saying, you know, look, and I understand that, you know, a couple of colleges have increased the cost of tuition by a percentage. There are some who are saying, you know, you've got declining enrollments. Is this the best way to fix the system, is by raising rates and raising the cost of tuition while number of students in the seats are declining?
Well, you get to this point where you have a structural deficit, and, you know, everything that you do to try and raise money ultimately winds up backfiring on you. So you raise tuition, you raise fees, and fewer students can afford to go. Your enrollment goes down. You cut programs, you cut faculty, you have less students who can go to those programs, and therefore you lose students, and again, you hurt yourself. We are not designed to be private institutions. We're public universities. The Commonwealth owes it to the working class in this state to provide an opportunity for people to better their lives. And when we see costs going up like they have from 2006 to 2015, and we start seeing 40% increases in the cost, in the total college cost, you know, it's no wonder that students can't afford to go.
So for me, the question then becomes this, Ken. You know, education should be, in my view, something that we as a society fund so that the next generation can have, you know, opportunities to advance and increase knowledge and obviously income and move us forward as a country. Yet we're in this weird world where, you know, you're being told, well, if you want to go to college, it's going to cost you, you know, I guess Millersville was saying it's up to like almost $26,000 a year. To be able to go to a state school, you're basically, you know, it appears to me, you know, pricing kids out of the education that we as a society should want them to have if we're going to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think people need to completely understand. Look, it was always an expense for people to go to college, even to go to our university. But it's anachronistic to look backwards and say, hey, I struggled to go to college because the increases in the cost of going have far exceeded, you know, the rate of inflation. They far exceeded the ordinary expectations of what might go up. So you're right. So that increase at Millersville was a 41% increase since 2006. And that's just asking too much for people. And again, you can't be the universities of the working class and by the same token then reduce those opportunities. And I do want to point out, too, that our universities consistently do the job they're supposed to do. That is, when you look at the numbers, and there was a report recently by the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, which pointed out very clearly that our universities take students from the bottom 40%, provide them opportunities, and they move up to the top 60%. But the way that we're going now, you're correct. It's a situation where students have to choose either to take on massive loans if they can get those loans and then be in debt for possibly decades and not be able to afford to buy a house and not be able to afford to buy a car, or in some instances, and we have seen this on our campuses, that they're making the choice between books and food. And that's not acceptable either. And then the third option is just don't go at all. And that's not a way that our Commonwealth is going to prosper.
Yeah, but you know, on the other side of this, shouldn't the larger discussion be as a society, you know, what do we value in this country? I mean, is, you know, investing in the future, is this something we're going to do, or is it really about the here and now? And I look at, you know, past generations invested in the future, invested in education. And a moment ago, you said, well, you know, people say, well, I struggled. Not at the rate that I'm seeing kids today. I know people who are $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 in debt, being 22 years old, not even having a job, and just being massively saddled with a lifetime of debt. And you go, I had debt coming out of college, but it was nothing like that.
Yeah, in so many ways, it's penny wise, pound foolish, right? So we don't invest money in public higher education. People take on this debt, and we don't, we're therefore, some students who aren't going to go aren't going to be highly educated, which is not attractive for employers to come into the state. And those that do go then wind up spending the first decade or so of their lives giving money to banks and not putting it back into the economy. This is not a structure that really works for people. And, you know, we need to make choices in this Commonwealth that look out for the future, and we need to do something to alleviate that burden on students.
So, but here's the thing, Ken, and there are, most of the voices that I hear are in the, well, you know, if they're failing, it's a very business mentality. Well, if they're failing, well, you know, we should sell them off, consolidate them, get rid of them, whatever. And I got to wonder about this report. What suggestions does this report that, I guess the state system spent, what, $400,000 having done? What did they come up with?
Well, I think the system paid about $300,000, and then there's supposed to be another $100,000 for the implementation of the report.
Okay.
I got to tell you that, you know, my association is not particularly supportive of hiring high-paid consultants to do work that we think we can do from within, and I don't think necessarily that we got any kind of suggestion that was really mind-blowing as far as being able to move and advance our universities. You know, the biggest suggestion that they made was restructuring our board of governors and making it into a board of regents. And, you know, that's fraught with concern when you talk about opening up the statute that creates the state system, because who knows what will happen when it gets into the legislature. My biggest concern is I think that all that talk about restructuring and all the rest takes attention away from the real problem. And the real problem is we're just not funding these universities like we used to. And because of that, students are suffering. And, you know, right, even as we speak right now, an organization called Heating Cheney's Call is in Philadelphia, and they're having a rally to support Cheney University there. And, you know, Cheney's taken a lot of heat lately. But, again, putting blame on Cheney and saying things like close Cheney University or close Mansfield University, what you're doing, these are not businesses. They're there because we had a commitment to educate the citizens of Pennsylvania. And who gets hurt if those universities close down? Well, it's the working class people who won't have the opportunity. If Cheney messed up, if the administration of Cheney messed up, and they did mess up over decades, in addition to funding issues that are there, well, what happens if you close that university down, or you want to close that university down, you're in essence making the argument that there is no need for that university, that students in Philadelphia, students in Harrisburg, students all around who could use the type of education that Cheney provides, that they're not worth it anymore. And, you know, that's just not acceptable. And that's true in Mansfield and Clarion and in Edinburgh, in that the northern regions of the Commonwealth, where, you know, are some of the most poor areas of our Commonwealth. And what we're going to do, and people are saying, is close those universities down, you know, get rid of programs and the rest. What you're doing is you're shutting down opportunities for students, and that's just not acceptable. So, you know, we're in this bind, and when you look around the country and what's starting to emerge, and you hear, you know, New York State is offering free tuition for families making under $150,000, and there's other states out there that are looking at free tuition. We need to do something in this Commonwealth to alleviate the burdens on working-class families.
Yeah, I was just gonna. That was my last line of questioning because, you know, we hear about the declining enrollment. If you want enrollment to go up, you've got to have some incentives to bring people in, and rising tuitions, that's not the incentive. I like the idea of having, you know, a free college for you know, again, it's got to be within bounds. You know, we don't want millionaires and billionaires sending their kids to our schools for free. But, you know, working class kids should have that road, that opportunity, and the question that I then come back to, you know, will the Republicans who control our legislature, and I put it on them because they control both the House and the Senate in an overwhelming fashion, will they move on something like this, or is it more just about privatize and destroy?
Yeah, this is, you know, we've got to really make a commitment to students. I say all the time, and not jokingly, you know, with all these concerns about our decreased enrollment, let's try free tuition and see what the problems with enrollment are. I don't think there would be problems with enrollment at our universities. And bear in mind that free tuition is not free college, right? You still have to pay room and board, and the costs of room and board have, you know, gone up substantially, you know, maybe even in like the 70%
right,
since 2000. I mean, you're paying room and board, you're paying fees still, there's still an expense for students. But nevertheless, it takes a commitment on the part of the Commonwealth. If we're going to be successful, all of us are going to be successful, we need an educated workforce. And, you know, sometimes it's the very same business leaders who are saying that they need skilled workers. Right? They need educated workers who are at the same time not making the argument that our university should be affordable so that we can train our citizens and that we can educate them. So, you know, we need some common sense.
I'm right there with you. So how do we do this? Last question I've got, how do we move this agenda forward? How do we push for this?
Well, our association, you know, we've been looking at ways to make tuition more affordable. We're hoping to take some action. We're looking to work off of some of the reports that have come out of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, where they've made cogent arguments about why college needs to be more affordable. And I think they intend to come up with some suggestions about how that could be made more affordable. And so I think people, first of all, need to pay attention to what we're going to be doing. But they also, in the meanwhile, need to talk to their legislators, and they also need to talk to the governor. And this is not a Democratic or a Republican issue. This is an issue about working people and working families. If people are truly concerned, right, and saying our lives are not getting better, well, one way to make lives better is to provide opportunities for people. And this just makes total sense.
I'm right there with you. Ken, I appreciate the time. And as you continue to push this out and advocate for sane, rational policy, we'd love to have you back.
Thanks, Rick. It's always a pleasure.
Always great talking to our friend Ken Mashkin. If you want to check out their website, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
The working people. From the firefighters, my friend. And the kids locked in the Capitol are fighting till the end. And we're not gonna break tonight, and we're not gonna bend. Some say the union's down, but I asked around, and everybody said, this is a union town, all down the line. This is a union town, all down the line. And if they come to strip our rights away, we'll give them hell every time. This is a union town, all down the line.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg.